The next day, Kate met the antique historian, Professor Meyerson, and sighed to herself. So predictable, that type. The lady academic, tweedy and warty. Not that Meyerson actually had warts, but she looked as if they should be there to complete the official look. Even on Bluebonnet, known for its beautiful women, a certain kind of academic woman looked like this, only with better tweeds. At least Meyerson knew more about the Lone Star Confederation than the rest of the people she met, and she was finally able to clear up a question that bedeviled Kate for days.
That young fellow, Baron Serrano?
Meyerson, head down in a scanner, as usual, didn't seem to be paying close attention.
Yes?
What do you know about him?
Meyerson's head came up, and her expression was mingled mischief and surprise.
He's giving you trouble.
No, just the opposite. He's ignoring me as if I had bark like a mesquite tree, but I just can't believe he's a mango.
He's not. He's engaged to another officer in the first place, and in the second place, he's burdened with all those new Tex women and children.
Why him in particular?
They consider him their protector, and for them, this means he's the only one who can make decisions about them. The regular space service has taken his pay to help support them, so he can't marry until he figures out what to do with them.
I suppose shipping them back isn't an option?
No, they'd kill them. At least mute them. He's stuck with them.
That's too bad. He's a nice boy. And if he's minded to marry, he should have the chance. You suppose those women would listen to me?
Meyerson looked her up and down.
As a messenger of the devil, maybe. They're very serious about their religion.
And I am very serious about mine, Wally.
They had come to first names several days before, and Kate refused to struggle with Waltroud after the first few tries.
You don't have to go barefoot and wear rags to be a believer. You want to send those women to us. We'll make real Texans out of them. They had to have some gumption to get up and leave in the first place.
Day by day, the officers relaxed around Kate, and if she hadn't had the appetite of a healthy horse, she'd have starved for all the talking at the table. She talked more than she asked questions, and the information flowed her way without her having to ask. By the time they reached Rockhouse Major, she had most of them eating out of her hand, men and women, and had invited most of them to come visit sometime. She thought a few of them actually would. All but the young Lieutenant Junior Grade, who had remained coolly distant no matter what.
Well, if he wants to sulk, let him.
She had many, many other fish to fry, and others had told their own tales of Baron Serrano and Esme Sweeza. So he was in love with a hero. If the stories were true, Sweeza would have made a good ranger, and perhaps worried about whether she'd stick it out. Security concerns kept her from touring Rockhouse Major, though she could tell it was much bigger than any of the orbital stations in the Lone Star Confederation. A fleet shuttle took her downside, and she got her first look at Castle Rock.
Boring.
The government buildings, mostly gray stone, looked substantial and dull. Insides matched the outsides. The Foreign Office was all dark paneling and dark tiles and thick dark green or blue carpeting in the offices she was led to. Everyone wore dark suits, men and women both, and had a dark, muffled, hurried way of speaking.
Sarah Briley, so pleased.
That was the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the first person she'd seen in this dismal building who looked completely awake. He wore a different style of shirt, with a tiny ruffle at the collar, and he had several blue and silver rings in his ear. She knew what that would mean in San Antone, but not here.
You are so decorative, my dear.
This she had met before, twinkling of the eyes and all. She put out her hand.
Mr. Minister, I'm Ranger Briley, but you can call me Kate.
But I thought your rangers were sort of policemen.
That's right.
Kate saw some of the man's staff wincing and grinned at them, too. The way they acted, you'd think this solid stone building would fall over if anyone spoke louder than a murmur.
But surely you're not. I mean, you're more of a honorary title.
That was going too far.
Mr. Minister, I am a ranger. Same as any other ranger. I qualified on the same course, and I can and will demonstrate my skills anytime you or anyone else questions them.
She had no weapon, of course, but she could break this fellow's neck, or any other bone, without one.
Oh, certainly, certainly. We are having a reception in your honor this afternoon, in the palace. I hope you aren't too tired.
Kate was never too tired to party.
Not at all.
The palace was another pile of gray stone, with outcrops on one side of a curious buff color. Inside, the formal rooms had the same sort of dull, dark look as those in the minister's offices. Kate was on her best behavior, smiling like a car dealer. She had been through her share of fancy events and knew that her role as honored guest was to smile and tell everyone how beautiful things were. She told the new speaker what an honor it was to meet him, and thought what piggy eyes he had. She told his wife what a lovely dress she had on, even though she longed to tell the woman that she would never in this world wear that shade of green. It made her look sick. She told the foreign minister, whose name was Pater Origiemos, that she liked his ruffly shirt, though she contemplated mentioning that a ruffled shirt plus those pretty rings in the ears would have branded him an obvious mango in the Lone Star Confederation. Then she overheard part of a conversation and learned that the local slang for the same thing was pet. It was all intensely boring, since she didn't know enough yet to make sense of most that she heard. Her feet hurt, and her head was beginning to throb. Then Pater bustled up to her, leading a tall blonde woman, whose face Kate recognized from her briefings.
And this is Ranger Briley, Bronmiga Thornbuckle.
Kate looked at the blonde woman who had been a prisoner so long, whose father was dead, whose predicament had led directly to her own presence here, and saw a familiar shadow in those blue eyes.
Hi there. I hope you can forgive my having that kind of title.
Well, you don't look much like they're rangers.
Hun, they aren't rangers. They're trash. Lower in a groundhog's butt. A brick can call itself a diamond, but that don't make it one.
The woman grinned, her face suddenly relaxing.
And you're the genuine diamond?
Pure carbon crystal, that's me. Cubic, but not zirconium.
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry. Slang's hard to translate. Listen up, my feet hurt. Can we go sit down somewheres?
If Kate could make friends with this woman, and she liked her already, maybe she could get the embargo lifted faster than anyone had thought. Even Kate, at her most optimistic, hadn't thought she'd get to meet the cause of it all, or that the woman would want to meet her. But that was obvious from the satisfaction on her face. She'd come here with a purpose, and Kate was part of it.
The reception's nearly over, Sarah. Ranger, the car will be here soon to take you back to your hotel.
Why don't you come with me, Brun? We could have dinner.
Thanks. I'd like that.
Pater scowled at that.
Did he think he was gonna move in on me by himself? Fat chance.